Hello, it's great to have you with me. I'm Kim Clyden, former ABC radio presenter and children's book author, creating a community of people who care about children. How do we nurture creative, connected, resilient, emotionally intelligent, and empowered children? And they say it takes a village. So if you're feeling overwhelmed by the responsibility, you're not alone. We're surrounded, though, by people who can support us, your family, friends, and professionals, who all play an influential role in shaping our children. Imagine if your parents, teachers, relatives, or carers told you another story. Your life story would be completely different. I believe we can change the narrative for our children, but to do that, we need to change our story. This week's story comes with a language warning for those of you who may be listening in the presence of children or anyone offended by the F word in general conversation. I'd like to thank you for signing on to a community of care. For more than 42 weeks, I've been seeking information, finding stories, and coordinating conversations to share with you. It's usually when I come across a LinkedIn post like the one I'm about to share with you that I'm compelled to connect. And I quote, "We've all got baggage. We've all had things happen early in life that left a mark. Maybe it was a moment when you didn't get the support you need. Maybe something broke that was never repaired. Loss, confusion, shame, silence. It builds. And if we never learned how to move through those experiences properly, we carry them. They don't go away. They just wait. And how they show up? At work, at home, under pressure. That 8-year-old, 12-year-old part of us starts driving the bus. We react, we shut down, we wonder, who am I right now? This isn't weakness. It's where humanity is at currently. And it's not your fault. No one showed you how to deal with it. Most people don't truly know who they are or how they work. That's not a judgment. It's a reality of the world we live in. From a young age, we're told who we are by others, parents, teachers, systems, jobs, even friends. We learn to see ourselves through the lens of the outside world. And over time, we build identities within that world. In our thoughts, feelings, roles, beliefs, behaviours, and relationships. Intrigued by this perspective, I reached out to the author, organisational psychologist Bryn Edwards, whom I'm delighted to say is with me today. Bryn, thank you so much for accepting my invitation. You talk a lot about the influence of our childhood experiences. What was your childhood like?
Oh, crikey. My childhood was a dichotomy of living in a very close and loving family, yet also spending a large amount of time in an English boys' boarding school. Obviously, spending such a time within a highly institutionalized and regimented space where you could feel the culture and the presence of the boarding school and the institution all around. It didn't have a face, but it had a presence. And you soon learned how to navigate within that. And it was quite a pressure cooker because you're not going home at the end of the day. So what you started to learn about was things like people may suppress emotional charge, but it doesn't go away. And it will just keep moving around until it's properly expressed and let go. You learned about the influence of a larger culture around you and how that works. And particularly those two things in particular helped me understand just how spaces and institutions work. Like, not work as in like policies and procedures in a workplace, but how they really, really work and how people really, really be and do within that. So, you know, all of it was a direct line from one place to another when it comes to looking at workplaces and the impact that they have.
You've spoken at length in some of your posts that I've seen on socials about people carrying baggage, and I'm wondering how that actually influenced or impacted your life and why it's one of those leap off points for you.
Well, the way I got to that was recognizing that I carry baggage, and also that there's no shame in admitting that, because nobody gets through childhood and life unscathed. So the sooner we acknowledge all that has occurred to us, whether it's directly, indirectly by a person or an institution or whatever it is, the sooner you can start to take responsibility for that, and the sooner you can start actively doing something about it. And this isn't to relive what's occurred in the past. This is to understand what is still lingering and we're still carrying, so we can let it go. And then also deeper, what are some of the patterns that we have adapted and still operate in the world by that are maladaptive patterns that we needed to use just to get through at that point in time, but no longer serve us?
I've had quite a few conversations in the last few weeks that basically stem around culture. And it's something that's vitally important, particularly for institutions, for schools, for organisations in which you work. Where do you think we fell off a, you know, moral-based cultural society? And why are we dealing so much with what people are terming as this toxic behaviour in workplaces?
It's probably at the point we disregarded what culture is and where it is and how it works. I started a second podcast a few years ago looking at wanting to speak to CEOs and business leaders about culture to understand it more from my perspective. And I had to stop it after a dozen episodes because I was just learning nothing. Most people don't understand where culture is, how it works, the scale of its influence, and just generally where it sits in our life. We seem to think that it's something to do with fashion, magazine, sport, whatever. It kind of is, but that's a really surface thing. We need to understand the jump off point was as soon as we disregarded the things that we can't see but impact us all of the time.
The other thing that comes with the understanding, I suppose, of the makeup of us and how our childhood influences really dominate most of our life, we react a lot to things. Why do we find ourselves allowing the inner child to drive the bus into adulthood?
The primary reason why that would be is because we don't understand the natural pattern that we as adults, as living entities, we as human living entities follow in response to the ever-changing and complex world that we live in. Right. If you were a farmer and you were growing a crop, you would know exactly what the natural process is to grow that crop or grow that tree or rear that animal. And you wouldn't mess around with it. Yet we seem to think that we can mess around with our natural process and then get surprised that things mount up and things aren't going the way that we want them to. And we lost despair and all sorts. We live in a world where everything is highly rationalized, intellectualized, and analyzed. It's mainly because you get grades, you get promotions, you get pay rises for your thinking, your capacity to intellectualize. But that's just one small tool of who we are and how we operate. There's so much more to us as a whole living integrated entity, from behaviors, thinking patterns, deeper thinking patterns, emotions, the emotional load that we might be carrying, like you said, from childhood, beliefs, deeper belief patterns, collective belief patterns, our core nature and the core nature of the spaces that surround us. And there's so much more as well, which I could go into. They're all working all of the time, right? And you might want to try and pretend or organize your life so all you need to do is think about stuff. But here's the problem. When you've ignored the rest of you and it winds in on you, and obviously often it winds in as an emotional problem. And we're not in a mental health crisis. We're in an emotional health crisis at the moment. So we should talk about it with precision. When it comes to, you know, your life winding in on you, not being the way you want it, and you becoming depressed or anxious or suicidal ideation, any of it, right? Or dysfunction in and around us. We just keep reaching for the same tool of thinking and analyzing and reframing. You know, you see it in most of the resilience and EQ stuff, you know, this idea that we can manage our emotions and stuff like that. Right. Most of it presents at first as an emotional issue, and you can't think your way out of a feeling problem. You can't talk your way out of a feeling problem, right? You have to feel your way out of a feeling problem, right? And so the big reason why we're in such a calamitous place individually and collectively is, in essence, is because we have ignored our natural processes of how we deal and adapt in an ever complex and changing world where we are fully interconnected with everything that's around us.
And yet, even in medicine, we've disconnected the head from the body. We treat, you know, physical medical health differently to the way we treat psychological. So any wonder.
Yeah, and even within the body, you isolate. So you'll have a liver specialist and a lung specialist and this, that and the other. And this is the challenge. You pointed straight at it. Like I said at the start, I'm an organizational psychologist in the truest sense of the word. One of the features of being alive is that you're perpetually self-organizing. One of the features of being dead is that that stops. Right at this moment, you are organizing how you sit, how you deal with gravity. You internally, you're organizing how to stay alive. You know, mentally, I'm organizing what to say to you right now. There are base patterns within that organization. And if we follow some patterns, will lead us to isolation, fragmentation, and disintegration. And that is, in essence, what you've just pointed towards, is that you keep isolating and isolating and isolating. Science has its place, right? I'm not here to bag science out. Everything has a place, right? And even talking about how you feel has its place as an initial acknowledgement. But it's one thing to isolate things, you have to reconnect them. And, you know, an expert, nowadays we see an expert as someone who knows a lot about a little thing, but we don't have the counter name for somebody who can connect a lot of things all together. And, you know, I did 2 degrees, one in psychology and master's in organizational psychology. And whilst they had their place, I had to put most of it in the bin in order to understand and embed a different framework, one called realm theory, that looks at the totality of who we are and how we work. It's a fully comprehensive model. And so we're not just looking at thinking about stuff all the time. It's thinking has a role and it has a place, but where is that place in amongst all of me, and how does all of me come together? Because when all of me is not coming together, then there's isolation, fragmentation, and what I call maladapting. And we all learn how to maladapt. Like the very first time you went into a playground when you were a kid and you turned up, all of you, and then you realized part of you was not welcome because people laughed at you. Right, and we do it at work. We leave a part here and we leave a part there. We leave a part at home, takes them to work, takes them to the sports club. And this is us learning to maladapt. And it's just to isolate parts of ourselves. And we live in a world that is purely focused on some aspects of us and ignores the rest. And then we get surprised when stuff emerges from the rest.
How do we then now approach raising children with an insight as to not doing this and not creating a place where, you know, they're told who they are from an early age?
So the answer to that question is because sometimes I get asked this, it's not where you think it would lie. It's actually in making sure, it's actually spending time on making sure that the adults are actually grown-ups and that they're taking responsibility for their life and all of that I've just said, you know, and all that I said right at the very start, okay? Because then when you take responsibility, you're capable of fully taking responsibility for your life, then you can take responsibility for the culture that surrounds us. And so this is when we can start, you know, if you... In my work, we go into the greater, what we call 90%. Like most of us live in the top 10% that we're conscious of, right? But there's a whole 90% that we're not conscious of. All the stuff that I've just talked about. And we work with the full 100%, right? And so we go into people's greater unconscious, and through using simple visual frameworks, processes and practices, give them the tools to help themselves. I'm not in the business of helping, right? Because that's disempowering, right? I'm in the process of enabling people to help themselves. There's only one person you should help, and that's yourself. I'm not in the business of helping, selling, or telling. And so we give them the tools to go into their greater unconscious and start to clean bits up. And when you have a small bit of you that has integrity, that starts to have ripple effects through the rest of you. And then that builds momentum, right? And so what we do with, what I do and we do here at Wisdom in Your Life with businesses and bigger spaces is we do exactly the same by taking a small group of people to exactly the same place, and then they form a small collective, which goes into the collective unconscious of a business or a family, and then we clean up the destructive patterns that have got lodged there. And if you take those patterns out, that organization or that family will completely restructure itself quite profoundly, quite quickly, and quite epically. So there's absolutely 0 point in answering your challenge there. There's 0 point spending tons of time trying to work with kids to try and give them a greater sense of self when the surrounding culture that's been perpetuated by the non-grown-up adults is just going to smash them down, right? It's the same as the business owners that come to me. It's like, don't waste your time sheep dipping your employees through a behavioral change program. Change the culture. It's the most effective, fast, and cost-effective way of making change to restructure your life if you go into your own unconscious or your organization. If you don't understand what culture is, where it is, how it works, you're just going to get pillared to post by it. And most people are.
That does my head in, because we're just perpetuating all of the things we've done over decades that we've been evolving.
You're repeating patterns. You're repeating your own individual patterns that you've picked up. You'll be repeating patterns that are occurring and lodged within your family. You'll be repeating and occurring patterns that are lodged within the greater unconscious of your community, organizations that you work in, sports clubs that you go to, and then your bigger community in your country. And then here's the biggest one. We're all replicating the patterns that are lodged in greater humanity. With the group of people that I work with, we've started to form a collective to go into the greater collective unconscious of humanity to surface some of those patterns to see if we can start moving them.
Wow, I'm in.
Cool.
I've done circle work most of my life. I realized that there were parts of me that weren't whole, that were reacting to things around them because of what I'd been fed from birth.
Weren't whole is the key thing you just said.
This is how you feel when you're maladapting and you go into society.
There you go.
You don't feel like you're this whole person because only parts of you are accepted by the people you encounter or the culture that you see. Exactly. Well, especially myself, from psychology to counselling to all sorts of therapies like medication,
others,
like the whole thing.
Yep.
And then my children went through some of those therapies as well and started displaying, but fast tracking, you know, the patterns that I'd been through.
Yep. On the surface, that seems like a good thing, but it's not if you've not got an active process to deal with it. Otherwise, we're accelerating the play out. You need to follow the natural pattern that humans do to adapt to an ever-changing and complex world. Once we do that, and here where we were, we have that in a very simple metaphor, which is a visual metaphor of the internal landscape. You follow that, you follow that, you follow that, you follow that. That'll start to bring you to the center of your life. Once you get to the center of your life, you'll start making threads down to the core nature, the part of you that was there at the start and there to the end and never changes. Just like a tree has everything it needs in the seed right at the very start, but it will grow and evolve and adapt in its environment. That tree will always be that tree and had that at the very start. So the more we follow that process, the more it takes us to the center of our life, the more at the center of our life, the more we can connect to who we really are, where we tap into our knowing. And then from that place, then we can start to, instead of being captured by the patterns and the emotional drama and stuff like that and try to deal with it in it, you deal with it from a place of greater knowing, which is easily accessible. Next time you've got a friend who's like crapping on about drama, just ask her afterwards, are you surprised by all of this? Their voice will go quiet and they'll say no. And that no has come from their deepest place of knowing. This is connecting to your nature and then connecting your nature to your nurture so that you can live from the inside out, not the outside in, right? And from that point, then you can start to see the patterns and the baggage, and then you can actively clean it up. If you're not connected to that, you're just going to get pillar to post, like I said. And you're not going to be able to understand what's yours, what's not yours, where's culture fucking you up, and where you're fucking yourself up, and all of this. But if you can't discern, and there's only one place you can discern from, which is that place. So that's the way forwards. That's what we do here in Wisdom in Your Life.
What's your model to help people understand this concept we've just discussed?
We have a series of workshops that incrementally build on one another. You can't do all of it at once. You start with that process. You start with the map. You start learning how to move through in a natural pattern. When things change, we have an emotional response. You can't think about stuff until you deal with the emotional response, right? Once you've dealt with that, then you can start to see what you've lost and what you can learn from it. Once you've done that, then it's time to look at different ways forwards. And then all of a sudden, you'll get to one place where you're like, ah, this is me, and I'll form a new relationship. And guess what? That will change again, right? And this has happened all day, every day, right? And so we start off by getting people just to understand that and do that in their life. Then we look at who they really are, and then we move on. So we have activities and stuff that goes into your lived experience, so you can connect the dots of the frameworks that we're sharing with you for yourself. That's why I don't help. That's why I don't tell. That's why I don't sell. You've got to want to connect these dots yourself, because the bridge is burning so much you want to move. And then it's just working from there. And, you know, you'll have an experience within our workshops, just like everyone's having an experience listening to me now. And then from that, there'll be processes and practices. Then you go do them, right? And then, you know, we talk about what's occurring for you. Just like brushing your teeth, right? Everybody's good at brushing their teeth. And we all know that daily we have to brush it twice a day, but every now and again, we have to go for a deep clean. And the way you work, your emotional loads, your thinking patterns, your beliefs, some of the patterns that you've picked up, they need cleaning on a daily basis. But sometimes you might need to go to the dentist and go a bit deeper. Same principle. Like, we're practicing stuff all the time, but most of us are practicing rubbish. And we're really good at it.
Well, if I take that analogy, I don't see a dentist mostly 5 to 10 years. So I'm in deep trouble because I don't have the deep cleaning strategy. If you're up for it, I'd love to continue these conversations and discussions.
100%.
Oh, Bryn Edward, 100%. You're amazing.
Thank you so much time and the space you provided to get into this, because not everybody is either, you know, wants to or is able to at this point in time.
Organisational psychologist Bryn Edwards delivering an uncomfortable truth about the fragility of our being. If it's not rooted in our core nature, it can collapse the moment something shifts. And in a world facing a rising tide of mental and emotional health issues, that's more than just a personal problem. It's a collective one. How do we navigate change, challenge, pressure, emotion, uncertainty? These are all questions Bryn poses and provides some thought on. You can follow his work on LinkedIn and discover more on the internet. All of those links I've provided in the show notes for you. Connect with me on my website, where you can subscribe to news and see my children's books that will help you have important conversations about life and nature. You'll find all my social links there as well. I'm Kim Clyden. Until next week, remember to be the change you want to see in the world.